Hi, and welcome to another episode of Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Hi, Alana.
Hi, David. Lovely to see you.
Alana, I have to say, the introduction music to this is such a buzz.
Isn't it just right? It's incomparable.
Your husband does most definitely deserves a credit for producing it. But so the music's
composing,
good.
Composing, playing, and producing. He's the absolute brilliant X-Man. And if there was a livelihood in that, he'd probably be. That's his love. But I guess having a PhD in engineering is more lucrative than standing with a hat and begging. Because this kind of music is hardly popular. It's too skilled and too complex.
We should do a podcast about music one of these days, Alana. It's a subject that greatly interests, I think, probably both of us. But so here we are, back with another episode. And whether you are watching this on the video channels, be that on YouTube, on Rumble, or wherever, you can just make sure, please, that you like, subscribe, hit notification if you do that on the video channels. And, of course, if you're listening to this on the podcast channel, then do make sure that you subscribe to that, share it as well, so that whether it's video or audio, you get the full 360-degree experience. So, Alana, we have an interesting selection of topics to discuss this evening. Which is, we've talked about so many things in some of our previous work together, but the whole issue of gender identity and gender wars, it's very much there, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's a thing, and we can't ignore it.
Let's see those pictures, the things you shocked me when I entered the studio.
Yeah, Alana's been deeply shocked.
It was an assault on the eyes. So let me see those pictures and I shall describe the segue into the topic we're going to cover. I think I was looking at two rather unattractive men. It wasn't like they were out of the firefighter's calendar, you know. Rather chubby, unattractive men. Where's that image?
Let's bring up. We've got this. Jed, if you want to just bring up the item, the Guardian item. Bring that up.
Yes.
Spoiler alert! If you can't see this, you're lucky. You're really lucky, Alana.
It's a real assault on the eyes. It's a young gentleman, I would say, flat-chested, and he is chest-feeding a baby, just the way a lady would, I guess. He has a beard and a moustache, and he's reading. In fact, it's interesting, physically, I'm a woman, right?
Yes.
Can we agree on that?
Without
being indelicate, David, I'm sure you know family members who are women and have done this breastfeeding, and I was, of the age that we were pretty dedicated to bringing up children that were healthy, and I was very devoted I'm so bashful, I can't even say it, let's say breastfeeding, and did it successfully. And I quite don't see how, in order to get what they call in the biological sense, the letdown sensation where the baby can actually feed, because there's nothing stored in the tissue. Yeah. It's a brain signal. And when the baby latches on, you get the signal and the mother's able to feed. I don't know how you can read the way he's leisurely reading, very flat-chested, and he's chest feeding a baby. And that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean,
what are your thoughts as you look at that?
Oh, hey, listen, it's a very remarkable image is what I think. And when you go beyond the image, which is a bit of a shocker, I mean, in the headline, if we can bring it back up again just for a sec, even the first sentence into this has issues for me. So as you can see, it says, Alana, a baby doesn't know what your pronouns are. Well, what's that got to do with anything? A baby doesn't know what pronouns are. Yes, well, lots of things babies don't know. But
exactly.
You know, I mean, I basically lost it at this point. I know you read Inlet, Alana, but I thought, well, what is this about? And then the language, and we are both people who love words and love language, and the language in this article is right off the scale in terms of, I just think, confusion, you know. So I think, it starts off, Alana, it amuses me. It was in an idyllic Canadian mountain town, surrounded by jagged imposing peaks, like his chest, that the conflicting facets of Trevor McDonald's identity came crashing together. He was Brett, and then it goes on to say, those of us who are reading it can see, McDonald, a soft-spoken and sporting a wispy goatee, was breastfeeding his first child at the time. Alana, have I fallen down a wormhole? What is this about?
You know, As a libertarian, albeit a right-wing libertarian, I am quite open to the issues of privacy. Do what you may in the privacy of your home. Make the decisions you need to make, so long as it doesn't impinge on public life, on schools, on curricula. And this is what I find, and I think you are trying, this is where what you're trying to express about this article. There is more to just being a man, a woman who's transitioned to being a man, and then deciding that you would like the experience of breastfeeding after having had breast reduction. There's more to this. You know what I find when I read this?
Yeah.
Because, again, I'm much older than this gentleman. The issue of privacy, there's something in your face and almost kinky about how he describes things that are very natural to women.
Yeah.
In other words, there's a scene where he says that once he decided to have this baby and to breastfeed it, he and his partner, who's a gay man, were in a very fancy restaurant and the baby became fussy. Well, if I never took my child to a fancy restaurant and decided to display myself, never happened. There's a matter of modesty. And I think whether it's a woman or a man or whatever these people, a trans, there's the issue of privacy. We went to the drive-in so we could breastfeed in the car. You know, so there's that. And there's also, there's so much of the activism. It's almost like he's following sort of, don't you think?
I do.
There's a lot of activism in how he treats this. It's an experience. It's activism. It's he's taking testosterone. He stopped taking testosterone so he could conceive and he could also chest feed, right? He's not breastfeeding because he has no. However, why not shave off the beard and the goatee and just try and, you know, why is it a statement? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Well, I totally do, Alana. Because, see, that is where so much of my questions come from. If he wants to be, well, we're using the pronouns here, but if this individual wants to be, like, seen to be a mother, well, then that's fine. But then maybe the thing is, and Alana, you see, again, we are very like-minded in these. I believe people should be allowed to pretty much do what they want in the privacy of their own homes, as long as it doesn't frighten the horses. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. You know, that's okay by me. I it's not my business. I don't wish to impose my values on anyone else. That's not what I want to do. But I agree. This individual is precisely doing that. He/she is definitely imposing activism, if not, as you rightly observe, Alana.
And there's something else. Very many women choose against breastfeeding. The way he sought this, it was almost like he wanted, there's something quite kinky for me reading through and interpreting his words. Because when you read in the detail, he is not a successful breastfeeder. Breastfeeding is not exactly easy. You know, as a woman and a mother, I managed about 10 months of it with a child wholly feeding on the mother and getting all sustenance from the mother. So now you see that he says that he's able to chest feed, but he's got a lot of donated milk from the community and assorted organizations that are supporting him in this sort of exhibitionism and this sort of display. It's sort of an adventure for him. So why not just do, he's obviously not sustaining this baby. And to me, when I look at what he's doing, it almost looks to me, David, and scold me if you want to, it almost looks to me like he's deriving sexual pleasure from this child latching onto his secondary sexual organs, right? That's what it looks to me. I hate to say that.
Well, it almost feels to me in a way that the baby, because let's remember there's a baby here, the baby's a prop. The baby, the baby looks to me like a prop in pursuance of the points that this individual wants to make. And so I've got a problem with that because I think, you know, babies, I've got a young granddaughter who looks to be about the same kind of age. I can think of nothing more harmful for a young baby to be used in that way. And the other thing, Alana, you're right about about breastfeeding. It's not easy for a lot of women.
It's not easy, David, to sustain a child. Yeah. He goes upon this as if it's a project and as if it's an experience he owes to himself or he wants to. And then he had this little debate with himself, an internal debate. I'm a man now. I'm my gender identity's man. I've transitioned. Now, will the act of breastfeeding conflict with that? So he goes through this whole internal debate. And then once he starts experimenting, it's almost sexual to me, David. It's not a motherly thing. He decides he likes it. Is he being honest with himself? Does he like it or does it bloody well turn him on? And that's sick. That's sick. I'm sorry. That's what I get from this. And, I get that there's something quite kinky because he could have gone about having a baby, feeding it, sustaining it bottle-wise, not going through the very many experiences he had going into bathrooms. He complains about bathrooms that he can't disrobe in bathrooms. And so on and so forth. He could have done his thing, had a child, whether it's – he also decided to use his anatomy. He hadn't had a hysterectomy and use his anatomy to conceive.
Yeah.
That's quite strange as well, isn't that?
It's very – it's, again, this is the language of I think, the demented. So, yeah, he used his anatomy. He used his anatomy to conceive. I'm sorry, I'm seeing an oxymoron there, but or maybe just a moron. But either way, it's very peculiar at the very least. And actually, Alana, as I read through the article, you know, I wonder if we just bring it back up for a second and we'll describe the bits for our listeners. There was other bits in it that I found. We've just shown a picture of him and the very nice, well, actually quite grown up baby. It's not nice.
Adorable baby. The baby's adorable.
Yeah, adorable baby. Yeah, yeah. Just scroll this one here, folks. Bear with me. Go up. I want to get into the thing, the detail of it down below. Yeah, just keep going down. He says, some 12 weeks into his pregnancy. Yeah, see, again, some 12 weeks into his pregnancy, Alana. His pregnancy. Do you know, I find that strange. It's not that I am intolerant of other people, but it's discordant. The whole thing, it sets me off because the language is kind of wrong.
Yeah.
So he says, like,
sort of flabbergasted. I'm conflicted as a libertarian. What I see here is not exactly what these people are sharing. What I see here is a lot of kink, a lot of display, a lot of insistence on having an experience that is not congruent, as you say, that is not congruent with his mentality, his sexual identity. He wants to be a man, yet he suddenly gets quite into the breastfeeding, the displaying, being a man and having a child latch onto his chest. It is very kinky and it's sort of on a continuum where you see a lot of people insist on twerking their tushes in front of little children. Now, what is that about? If not sheer kink, I am detecting some sexual kink in this, and this is this and the lack of privacy. I mean, as you say, we're libertarian minded, do what you may.
Yep.
Don't make the taxpayer cover this. Don't make it a gender out of it. Don't go into the schools and wag your tush or show how you chest feed. This is where, to me, the kink comes in.
Yeah, it does. And it's interesting because he says that despite his surgery, he's been able to breastfeed or chest feed both of his kids, now aged 5 and 18 months. So I guess that the photograph, folks, if you're listening, that we've been looking at is of the 18-month-year-old. So, he fed using a combination of his own milk and donated milk from a community. What's going on here?
He didn't sustain this child, and this is he possibly wanted bonding, but because it's so public and it's so almost sexualized, I feel that it has unwanted sexual connotations to me. I read into this something untoward, and definitely not good for the baby.
Oh, no. Well, you just wonder, because even when they're that young, Alana, even at 18 months, babies are super aware of stuff that's going on in their, you know, in their family environment. You know, they are very perceptive, and you just wonder what psychological impact this has in that 18-month-old child.
David, he's doing better than we are. He has a book reading in Toronto. You know, I'm sure he's probably near illiterate and has a ghostwriter, but he has a book reading in Toronto, and he's collaborating with Canadian medical authorities to study people like him. And, you know, I've done statistics. I have four years of very thorough statistics in a South African university prior to affirmative action. And there's such a thing as confounding variables. And I wonder all the things that we've discussed, whether these people are going to detangle all the variables that go into this man's persona, the displays, the paraphernalia, the breastfeeding but not breastfeeding, the insistence on having the experience at the restaurant. I wonder, those are confounding variables. I wonder if our Canadian researchers, who've made him a sort of an honorary scientific object and partner, I wonder if they will look at all these things.
Indeed so. And isn't it interesting how people like this are given the public pulpit, which others like us, we're denied, you know.
It's
like the most aberrant forms of kind of behavior are the most, well, are popular. Well, certainly in Canada anyway. I know you lived in Canada. Does it surprise you?
I'm Canadian. I'm actually, life in America is so fraught and so stressful. I'm even thinking of dividing my time. I'm Canadian. I immigrated from South Africa to Canada and then the US. So lovely country. I love Canada. But as you say, things have gone nuts in the Western world. And have you ever watched the film Idiocracy?
Yes, I have, Ada.
I knew my soulmate broadcaster would watch Idiocracy. Yeah. I mean, really.
It comes it off, doesn't it? It absolutely.
You see garbage avalanches. Water crops are watered with Gatorade or whatever that drink was. Why not this?
Yeah. But then we move it on a bit. There's this, as I said, this is a really strange story. But it's not in isolation, because the other thing is that I think made a bit of media in the past week or so is that, apparently, July the 17th was World Emoji Day.
Yes.
I didn't know there was a World Emoji Day, but yes, July 17th is World Emoji Day. And so there were a whole pile of new emojis released. Now, ordinarily, you might think, well, what are you two talking about emojis for? You know, but these weren't your standard emojis by any definition. And I believe they're due out in September. They actually hit the mobile phones and whatnot. But
this gentleman has now an emoji. There's a face of a new emoji that they're testing. Well, there's not only is there an emoji day, but there's also an emoji consortium, and they actually say, David, that they are overworked and they're very stressed. They have to look at these things and decide, oh, well, should we have a gentleman with a moustache and a beard who's clutching his belly and he looks long-suffering, he doesn't look happy at all, and that's the pregnant dad emoji.
Yeah, let's bring it up so our viewers can
he looks upset. He looks not a happy bloke.
He doesn't look a happy bloke, no, but as you say, and they've done the whole diversity as well, I can see in this, so we're having the complete spectrum of colours of pregnant dads. So it
yes,
is,
David, I have a feeling that the brothers will not be taking lightly.
No.
I mean, the you know, African Americans are pretty manly types, and they don't quite like this. There's a lot of abuse of transgender in that community, or at least staying closeted, because you know it's a very testosterone-driven culture.
Yeah,
these are waspy white guys.
Oh, they absolutely are. Yeah. Well, I think we have a video which, if we can play it and maybe describe it at the same time, Alana. So just get you to read it. Right, Jed, fire the video. So as we wait for the video, yeah. So Apple has unveiled. Vampire emojis. And again, in different ethnicities, because it's really important we hit all the cultural norms. Yeah, because remember.
I thought that under the skin blood was the same, you know. That
all
all blood was red, but apparently identity of vampires is vital.
Yeah, I mean, and then of course I see some of the comments on Twitter, and Twitter's full of insane people, so they're. Does being a creature of the night reverse discrimination by skin brightness? There's a good one. All gray lives matter. Well, I suppose there's a bit of humor in this as well, which is good actually. But yeah, so we have, I mean, emojis have entered the common sort of vocabulary. People use them all the time. I use them. I don't use many of them, but I use some of them.
No, you don't, David. I vouch for you. I don't see you using this.
Long-suffering really.
Gentleman, but I when it comes out, when it's inaugurated, I'm going to send you one.
Yeah, well, I might start signing all of my messages with the pregnant man emoji. But to me, I mean, it is a symbol of, I just think, I don't know what you reckon, but to me, it's like our society is disintegrating so fast into realms of madness that, and it's all to accommodate tiny little niche groups. And okay, yeah. Is that right or wrong? What do you think?
You know, once again, we've always had, I mean, you go back to antiquity and you've always had colorful sorts and you've had transgender and gay, and that's been part of, but there's always been a culture of modesty. And I think that's where I think a civilized culture is a culture where het and homo, you do it in private.
Yes,
you don't do it in the boardroom, you do it in the bedroom, right?
Yep.
And so what I find so disturbing is not that there's, you know, kink and a variety in human sexuality, which I like to not know about. I can be quite prudish. It's that it's been normalized on the public square.
That's the point.
And that's really the point for me. To me, a civilized society is where this gentleman does what he does in private, and maybe just to accommodate for old fogies, he shaves his beard when he's pregnant, right? Grows his hair a little bit when he's pregnant. Just fit in with culture and take it to the bedroom, right? No, we have to be all in the face, in the army, we have to be pregnant.
That's the thing. Yeah.
This is uncivilized.
Yeah, and the thing is, Alana, it spreads across the entire kind of social discourse, because we keep being sort of hit with these different things. And if you express any concern or any alarm or any hesitation that this is anything other than super duper great, you're instantly labeled as, you know, a bigot. You're labeled as, you know, someone who's just not, you're not modern, you can't keep up with the times.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And as we, You're not with it. Yeah, but I know I am with it, and it's, you're with it. But we want some things to be done in, well, yeah, privacy is the right word. What's wrong with privacy? Why do things need to be so public and shoved down your throat other than...
Also so lewd. This is why the theme of kink, it is not that a teacher of ancient history brings up a transgender in, I don't know, in ancient Greece and says, children, this has always existed and full stop. It is to bring a person into the classroom that twerks their tush in the face of a young child whose sexuality, whose arousal is just being established. And these are very, very ugly and destructive things. This is where I say that this has become pornographic rather than informative or even accepting. It's, as you say, it forces things on people and it brings it into the public square. I don't want to see heterosexuals copulating either.
No, say
everything in civility, privacy, and that's how I think about this whole.
But you see, Alana, another good example of that is, and it's a slightly different tangent, but like gay rights parades. In my view, if people want to do that, well, yeah, okay, they can do it, whatever. You know, not again, I'm not bothered. But there's a lewdness that creep that is part of some of those as well, which, you know, is very unfortunate. And so that's what makes it difficult for me. There is that lewdness quality to it.
Yes,
there's overt sexualization going on, to be quite honest. Same with in the classroom. The drag queen art. I mean, how did drag queen art ever become a thing, Alan? How's that?
Yeah, and we libertarians often make the almost archaic point that schools should just be privatized, but then the private institutions are leading with this stuff. So, it's the idiocracy on steroids. Or are we allowed to say on steroids?
I think we are, yeah. We give ourselves
that permission. Doesn't that imply that testosterone is associated with strength, with machismo?
That could be problematical. No, yeah, but you're right. And the institutions, the big corporations, are 100% behind all of this.
Yes.
They love it, which I find very concerning as well, because the influence they have over more general society, you see it in advertising, you see it in TV programs, you see narratives being woven in, which, again, are very, very troublesome. Let's just put it like that. Yeah. Very troublesome.
What did you think before? I guess you want to close soon, but what did you think about the emoji, the various kings and princes or whatever they are, with those emojis with gender neutral or lady queens and kings and all kinds of different ethnicities and races? Is that sort of a hint that every ambitious, can I swear, every ambitious bitch or bastard can infiltrate a royal family and trash the members?
Become a Kang. You can become a Kang if you do that.
I mean, what is the inference there that we have? I think, I guess there is a king of Bhutan in Africa. No, I'm not sure. But certainly when I think of the monarchy, I think of England and Europe and Spain, right?
Yeah.
But you have now all kinds of different monarchs and queens. Queens is a good uniting metaphor here. What did you think about that? What did you think about that? The crowns, different.
Yeah,
crowns.
I just laughed at them, to be honest. I mean, sometimes I think the best response to some of this is to laugh at it. It's so patently ridiculous.
Yes,
it's trying to tick little identitarian boxes. I know exactly what they're doing, you know, and there is the right response is not to get angry about it or cross. That's a waste of our emotion. Mm-hmm. But you can have a laugh at it and then say, yeah, well, I can't. I would be very surprised, Alana, if you get any messages from me with a crime, you know. I don't think that's going to be happening somehow, you know.
Well, you're going to get all the worst from me. You're going to get the guy. I'm going to celebrate World Emoji Day by inundating your your WhatsApp and your email with all this.
So next July 17th, I'll be off social media. So, hey, Alana, we've got to the end of the show. The 30 minutes has gone by really, really fast, which is great.
Love chatting with you.
Yeah, well, Alana, thank you very much for being and for being part of this Hard Truth podcast. So I hope, folks, if you've watched this, you've enjoyed it. If you've listened to it, you've enjoyed it. Just make sure you subscribe, hit notifications, you like it. We've got so many more conversations coming your way. But for now, that's it from me.
And me. See you next week.
Yeah, see you next week, folks. Bye, everybody.